Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, a hump day special. And we're going to give you a little sci-fi taste as this is our Sci-Fi Fest and Mad Scientist Month. I'd love to stay in chat, but right now we're being invaded. So excuse me while the invasion is going on.
In biblical times, man has witnessed and recorded strange manifestations in the sky and speculated on the possibilities of visitors from another world. Today, from the skies of California, the fields of Kansas, the rice paddies of the Orient, the air lanes of the world, come persistent reports of UFOs, unidentified flying objects which we have come to know as flying saucers. In Dayton, Ohio, the Air Intelligence Command gathers and sifts data from all quarters of the globe. 97% of the objects prove on investigation to be of natural origin, while 3% still are listed as unknown. The Air Force is aware of the widely held belief that some of these could be flying saucers from another planet. While there is nothing conclusive in the evidence, the probing and digesting of information about UFOs continues unceasingly. As a result, headquarters of the Hemispheric Defense Command in Colorado Springs issued an order. All military installations are to fire on sight at any flying objects not identifiable. But even as they did so, the military wondered whether their scientific know-how and their best weapons would be effective in any battle of the Earth versus the flying saucer.
Because of recent scientific advances, it is now possible to realize an ancient dream, the exploration of outer space. To prepare for this great stride forward, we are assembling data on conditions at atmospheric levels beyond those hitherto explored. To collect the necessary data, unmanned automatic observation posts are being sent up in multiple stage rockets to a distance hundreds of miles above the Earth's surface. There, swinging in endless orbits around our planet, will be 12 tiny man-made satellites, or moons, They will report to us by radio, thus providing primary information needed to prepare the way for our ascent into space. The effects of gravitational loss, showers of meteoric dust, the fierce and undiluted heat of the sun, the cosmic radiation, all will be studied and analyzed. At the present time, we have launched 10 of the artificial satellites, or birds as we call them. Can you hear something?
Hear what?
This one.
According to Project Skyward. I'll make a class, will you? I'm in a hurry.
Nobody allowed in, sir? There's a rocket taking off now.
That's what I want to stop. Let me speak to Dr. Russell Marvin.
Wednesday is the bunker number two. Dr. Marvin.
Bunker number two, Marvin speaking.
That's the Wednesday. Carol Hadley wants
you. Oh, put him on. Carol, it's your call. No, right here at the project.
Hello, Russ.
Hello. Well, welcome home, General. What's news from Panama?
It's bad, I'm afraid. I think you want to hear what I found before you send up another rocket. And you possibly put it off.
Well, I'm afraid I can't. You're tied to a definite schedule of launching.
Wait a minute. There's something else I wanted.
Hey, just a minute.
Hi there.
What is it, honey?
I just wanted to hear your voice and tell you Russ and I were married last night.
Married?
I'm not letting you know, darling. I've got to hang up. Let's have dinner tonight. Can you? Don't forget.
Designer feels hearing a thing like this. But Project Skylook hasn't worked out the way the Defense Department hoped. How many birds have you sent up so far?
11, counting today.
How many are you in contact with right now?
Just one today. I admit we haven't been able to track them visually so far, but we'll correct that.
Don't be too sure of that.
We can certainly tune them in if they're up there.
What I'm trying to tell you is that they're no longer up there. That wasn't a meteorite that fell on them. It was the burned remains of number 7. I made sure of that myself. And intelligence has reports now which convince us that 1 and 3 fell over Africa, number 5 around the North Pole, and 9 and 10 along the Andes. The rest can be presumed to have been lost on Pleasant Sea. What happens to them? Apparently they blow up in outer space.
Why?
There's nothing explosive in them. You can take it from me. When a rocket's blasted off, it should circle the Earth for a long time. That is, unless what?
Unless something shoots them down as fast as we set them up there.
Why, no gun in the world can shoot that high.
No. No, of course not.
Drink phone for your coffee.
Barbecue.
That's to make up for not telling you about our getting married.
It's kind of sudden for us, too.
Sudden? I've only been after him for a year.
I don't need to tell you, both of you, how pleased I am.
Well, I'm glad of that. I wouldn't like it very much if you weren't.
Thank you. Russ, what were you driving at back there about something shooting down one of the satellites?
General, we saw a strange thing this afternoon. We saw what appeared to be a flying saucer.
A flying saucer?
It nearly ran into us.
You're sure of it?
Both Carol and I are subject to the same atmospheric disturbances that may have affected other observers, but there is a qualitative difference, but you're a scientist.
We do have one piece of supporting evidence, an accidental recording of a saucer the tape is in the lab at the project. I'd like you to hear it tomorrow.
You both saw this?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Captain Holloway, sir. Can you stand here, please? Who's Holloway?
He's on monitor duty this evening.
They just lost contact with number 11.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Is it still in range of our receivers? If it hasn't been knocked down. Look! What are those wires?
They're what the pilots call fool lights.
They almost fire at each fire. Superstitious regarding the best science has been able to make out of them is that they're electric particles agitated by moving air. Same principle as the aurora borealis.
There have been so many around the project the last couple of days, we all just take them for granted. Certain level ought to be visited from the skylight, you know, the second month around the world. Look, there it is.
Was that it? Yes. Well, surely you're not going to send up number 12 tomorrow after this.
I have to.
Why?
With the television pickup cameras and microphone, I should have done it before. This time I'm going to know what's happening up there and know the reason why. Come on, let's finish our dinner.
pickup. Getting a good image?
Fine.
TV's okay. I'll be down in a couple of minutes.
Tell him to hurry it up. Hey, do you notice anything different since you were here last? Soundproofing? That's right. You could fire a cannon off on site. You couldn't hear a thing down here. Number 12, okay for takeoff. There's no recommend from way back. I run the watchroom ground list. Dr. Marvin. Dr. Marvin. Marvin here. You guys ready for a seat?
bed. Trying to fall.
The operator up now? Look. What's happening?
What? We are speaking to you through the translating device above your head. Can you understand us?
Yes. And I hope you can understand me. Whoever you are, whatever you are, you'll regret what you did at the project.
Perhaps you can explain why, after contacting Dr. Marvin. The woman was fine.
Contacted Dr. Martin.
We spoke to him.
All he heard was meaningless sounds. The same kind of sounds I just did.
We had also sufficient adjustment for the time differential between us would have been made.
I don't understand.
Evidently, you do not realize you are in an interstellar conveyance. You are already outside the atmosphere of your own planet.
As a prisoner, all I am required to tell you is that I am General John Hanley of the United States Army. These are all the facts leading up to the rocket explosion at Operation Skyhook. To the best of our knowledge, my wife and I are the only ones left alive, since we have not seen or heard anyone for hours. The air is becoming toxic. In the event of our death, this report, together with a recording of the saucer sounds on this tape, constitute all the data we have. The batteries are failing. The recorder is not running up to speed. This is Dr. Russell A. Marvin.
Rush? Where are you?
It's all right, honey. The gas generator stopped, that's all.
Please come close. I'm afraid of the darkness.
Dr. Russell Marvin.
The tape.
nations skyhook when your sun is exactly over your
That's the sound of the saucer we heard on the tape. The message was sent at an accelerated speed, so it just sounded like gibberish to us. When the batteries died, the tape slowed down, and the voice became clear.
If I'd only figured it out before, maybe we wouldn't have been trapped down here.
What had stuffed out hundreds of lives and leveled an installation worth millions of dollars? An aroused public demanded an answer, and the federal government dedicated the strength of all its branches to the task of finding one. However, when Dr. Marvin and his wife were rescued, the answer was to be found in the experience of the only two human survivors and in a reel of tape recording they carried to Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon.
Operation Skyhook.
There can't be any doubt about what it means. A landing at the project was proposed on the day of the disaster. There was to have been a meeting. If I couldn't keep the appointment, a message was to be sent on a designated wavelength by ordinary shortwave transmission.
Does anyone want to have the recording played again?
You've heard it a dozen times. My wife and I, for 3 days and nights, have been telling what we knew. We've been before every committee, commission, and review board in Washington. It's time we decided to do something.
The tape is by no means conclusive. It certainly doesn't prove that your so-called flying saucer caused the destruction of Operation Skyhook.
I grant you that.
A strange voice, a set of instructions that might have come from anywhere.
Well, has anyone a better idea of what happened?
Personally, I'm inclined to accept Dr. Marvin's conclusion about the connection between the message and the disaster.
All right. So am I.
Then why not let me try to contact them, meet them, find out what this is all about?
We are to be confronted with a hostile and unknown power. Any decision to meet with them must be made at the cabinet level.
Well, I just hope that while we're waiting, another disaster doesn't occur.
We are pressing for the earliest possible action.
Secretary of State is flying back from Europe. Secretary of Defense is returning from the Pacific.
If a meeting could be arranged in the meantime, the only risk would be to me. I feel personally responsible for what happened. I was in charge. Hundreds of lives were lost. My own wife's father.
If I have the authority, I grant it to you, but we will have to wait. But I promise you that we will recommend that you be authorized to make radio contact and meet with whoever they are.
Are we through for the night?
Yes. But we are going to ask you to remain at your hotel.
You mean I'm under detention?
Maybe needed at any time. Major Hudson, at the time, is your liaison.
Good night.
Good night.
Dr. Marvin, I don't like this watchdog routine any better than you do. I'm under orders. I have a job to do. We're both on the same side. I'm sorry. I'm just tired and worried.
I know.
Well, you were in there. You heard both sides. Who do you agree with?
I agree with both parts. The urgency is concerned, but they're right, too. They're responsible to a chain of command. They have to be strengthened.
This thing may be too big to allow for mistakes.
Thank you. Marvin, calling on 225.6 megacycles. Over. Dr. Russell Marvin, calling on 225.6 megacycles as per instructions. Are you listening? If you hear me, please reply. I am tuned in on the same wavelength. Over.
We hear you, Dr. Marvin, and we understand you. Do you understand us?
Yes. Who are you?
Listen, it is now 9:30 a.m. Earth time, Greenwich Meridian time. We will be waiting at exactly 11 a.m. at the shore of the Chesapeake Bay where the North Beach Road reaches the sea. Do not raise an alarm and keep this appointment.
Listen to me. I can't keep the appointment. I'm under orders. I'll be able to meet you in a few days. Do you hear me? Over.
Russ?
Hello, hello. Dr. Russell Marvin calling on 225.6 megacycles. Do you hear me? Please come in. Over. 11 o'clock Greenwich time. It will be 6 o'clock here. I can just make it.
They're not going. I heard you say you're under orders.
I didn't arrange this meeting. I just asked them to wait.
Who ordered that radio?
I did today. I was hoping they'd give me the go-ahead and let me use it.
You can't go. I've already lost Dad. You shouldn't have called them.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have. And maybe I should. But it started now. And I've got to go through with it.
But it's not your job alone. Oh, call someone. Call me. Loveland. Room 312. Stay your husband. Hurry, please.
Hello? Yes. Yes. Thanks. Well, call the garage. Tell him not to give him a car. Tell him he's sick, anything, out of his mind. I'll be right down to take care of it. Sure thing, Mrs. Marvin.
Frank, may I have my car, please? See, Dr. Marvin, I can't. I was talking to your wife on the phone, and she said that I... But, Dr. Marvin, I can't let you have the car.
Get out of my way, Frank.
Please, Dr. Marvin, I don't want to lose my job.
There he is. See if you can get him on the radio.
Hello, Russ. This is Carol. Russ, come in. You won't answer me. Wait for us, Russ. Major Huggins and I want to talk to you. please come back with us?
I'm sorry, but I have to do my job. Let's go back.
Please come in.
Come on, let's get out of here. No, wait.
We're your friends, Dr. Marlin.
I'm coming with you.
Please come in, all of you.
I'm going to phone headquarters. You better do as they say.
Thousands of miles away from the Earth.
And in a matter of seconds.
You are many miles away from your planets, but not in a matter of seconds. Listen to your watch, Dr. Malvin. Stop. Must be any magnetic. We generate a magnetic field stronger than the gravitational field on your Earth. This is the principle by which we move through space. We have adjusted the magnetic field to compensate for the normal loss of gravitational effect and atmospheric pressure. But your watch hasn't stopped. Feel your pulse.
We haven't any.
Not a lot.
We operate in a very different time reference. You might say all this is happening between the ticks of your watch or the beats of your heart.
And that's why we couldn't decipher your message till it was too late.
It made it necessary for us to defend ourselves at Skyhook.
You shot down our 11 rockets. Why?
At that time, we had no way of knowing they were only primitive observation posts. We thought they might be weapons directed against us.
Who are you? Where are you from?
Because of your leadership in exploring the field of our space, we felt you could best understand that we are the survivors of a disintegrated solar system. At this moment, the remainder of our fleet is circling your globe. Tell them where to land.
What do you want with me?
Arrange for your world leaders to confer with us in the city of Washington.
They may not listen. I'm only a scientist.
We will show you how important it is to convince your leaders. In an instant of your time, we travel from beyond your moon to the surface of your Earth.
Conquer us without a fight.
We felt it would be best to meet with you so fighting could be avoided. Such agreements have been made on Earth before.
How do you know so much about this?
We have the means of accumulating information. If you wish to convince yourself about our detailed knowledge, test us. Any question?
What's the size of the armed forces of the United States?
There's approximately 3.5 million men.
Well, what team has won the most World Series?
The New York Yankees.
Who is the first president of the United States?
Washington.
I know that voice.
Who are you?
John Hammond.
My father. What have you done to him?
You have been addressing General Henry's mind, not General Henry. Look behind you.
Dead.
He will not recognize you. He has been subjected to a machine we call an infinitely indexed memory bank. We have transferred all knowledge from his brain to our machine. Thus, we have available and readily accessible his total experience. We can do this to as many as we like and learn whatever we must know.
Oh, stop it. Please stop it.
And get away.
Don't look at that.
This is the beginning of the process by which we read the brain of the infinitely indexed memory bank.
What have you done with my father?
We will return him to you eventually, and the police officer, too. Will you arrange a conference for us?
We will tell the authorities you want one. That's all we can do.
I'm not going to cooperate with these monsters.
It may take weeks or months to set it up.
You will have two of your lunar days, or 56 days at a time.
Let the killers now be done with.
Please, Carol. If our officials don't believe me, I can't be held responsible.
When you tell of the destroyer being sunk, refer to latitude 30 degrees 20 minutes, longitude 45 degrees 15 minutes. They will believe you.
Suppose Major Hudman, my wife, myself, were all hysterical, or hypnotized, or whatever you're thinking, that we never saw what these fiends did to General Hanley or the police officer. How do you explain the destroyer?
There's word that the Atlantic Fleet has lost contact with the vessel in the area, but there's no confirmation of the sinking. However, we're continuing to check.
You realize, of course, your contacting the saucer in the first place violated our instructions. This itself may have placed the safety of the entire country in jeopardy.
Now that the damage is done, and assuming your story is verified, are you proposing that we meet with these creatures and yield to their demand?
And why Washington? If they want to parley with the whole world, why do they choose the capital of the United States?
They appear to be realists, and Washington is one of the centers of political power.
What about our atomic and hydrogen weapons? Wouldn't they be effective against these saucers?
I'd like to answer that question, sir, if I may. Our atomic weapons might be effective if we could deliver them. But to use nuclear power when they land would destroy our own cities. And then we don't know whether they are vulnerable or not. In answer to your question, Mr. Cassidy, I've learned a little about their mode of operation, and I've got an idea for a new kind of weapon. It's only a guess, of course.
A new weapon in less than 56 days?
I have an idea from ultrasonic gun. With enough scientific and engineering help, we could construct a working model in a very short time. Maybe it'll work. If not, we'll know soon enough. And in the meantime, you'll be working on every other means of defense.
We have no choice but to use every conceivable weapon if they land.
Gentlemen, please.
The destroyer Franklin Edison was sunk at latitude 30 degrees 20 minutes, longitude 45 degrees 15 minutes, at approximately 0600.
We are expected at the White House in an hour for a policy decision that will probably involve not only our own country, but the entire world.
Whatever the decision, you may be certain that you'll be given every assistance in testing your theory. I suggest you start to work right away.
Admiral, we'll make arrangements for whatever facilities you may require.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Well, instead of turning electric impulses into ultra-high-frequency sound, we nearly burned the place up about an hour ago.
What? All right, let's try it out on the cement block. All the way. Well, there goes your generator.
But it worked, Russ. It worked, didn't it?
We know what hit Skyhook.
What?
Sound.
Sound. Having two small boys around the house, I know that noise doesn't do a man much good. Burn him up, knock his house down?
Well, the sound I had in mind was of a higher wave frequency than we've ever been able to produce.
Then you mean we've got the weapon?
No, I'm afraid not. With the best materials and circuits available, all we've succeeded in doing is pulverizing the end of a cement block. The theory is beautiful. We don't have the tools or the materials to make it work. Maybe in 10 years, 5, even 2. How many days left? 27. Russ, remember that report from Dr. Pavic in New Delhi? He suggested a different approach. Instead of attempting to duplicate the ultrasonic devices of our visitors, we try to interrupt their magnetic field by projecting a highly intermittent induced electrical field. Now, suppose we take this...
Of course.
We cut the ultrasonic wavelength into the circuit and knock them down like clay pits.
Not so fast, Rush.
It can work. Here, Major.
Yes.
Get on the pole. We'll need the largest portable generator that Schenectady makes.
From all parts of the globe, under top priority, came every facility and scientific help the governments of the world could furnish. Dr. Marvin and his staff assembled these necessary materials in a concealed laboratory, where they were to translate a short experience in a craft from outer space into a formula, then plans, and finally, a functioning reality.
It's only a hollow steel ball, but for our purposes, it's a flying saucer. You can start up the generator now.
The magnet does that, doesn't it?
The magnetic attraction above is enough to counteract the pull of gravity from below. Go ahead. It was your idea. You be the first to try it.
My idea, not mine. Just as much yours and Dr. Pedic's in India and a dozen other scientists all over the world.
Come on. It works.
Works fine.
Russ, look.
Kind of thing that's watched us since the beginning of the project.
Watched who?
Russ and all the developments of the rocket program.
I always felt it was St. Elmo's fire. I'll have to change my mind about that.
Oh, whatever it was. The saucer sent it down to find out what we're doing.
We have television. They may have some totally different device that serves the same purpose. We better get to Washington before they decide to drop in on us. Major, give Cutting a hand. Load that gun on the generator truck, right? Never mind the file, Professor. I'll take the diagrams. We ought to be in Washington in about an hour. I hope they haven't spotted us. Let's pull away from the lab. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
If that saucer stays in firing range, we may be able to get the gun its first real test. Saucer landing near Belmont Land. Major Hudlin calling for aerial protection. Over.
They're sending a bomber. We ought to go on with those diagrams as quickly as we can.
I'll get some rest.
I'll go with you.
Fire up the generator. We're going to see if this gun really works.
What's the matter? Can't get this blasted thing started.
They're looking for us, all right.
Russ, getting you and the plans to Washington is more important than anything else.
Right. She's right. This machine works. It probably doesn't make any difference.
Circling overhead in the saucer and stay away.
Outer skin take the place of their amputated flesh and muscles.
Let us get this to a lab.
Dr. and Mrs. Marvin now. Carol, Russ, we've been waiting for you.
Thanks.
This is Dr. Alberts.
How do you do?
You know General Edmonds?
Yes,
General Enright.
Certainly. And Mrs. Marvin is General Hanley's daughter.
Marvin,
your father's death was a great loss to all of us.
Thank you.
Oh, I see you've been busy.
Oh, we've been doing a little work. Here, let me show you. It didn't take too long to break this thing down. These helmets have a language translating device in them. Mrs. Marvin, would you say something into the microphone?
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven.
Shakespeare wouldn't like it.
Professor Albert said if we rip the dictionary into the device, word by word, we'd have a translation of those words into their language.
By translating their communications into our words, we were able to decode them. Professor Albert's requisitioned the electronic translator, which his university had developed, and the results, to say the least, have been startling. We've recorded a number of their messages on tape. One of the messages appears to be a plan of attack.
The rest were operational routine.
I'll show you how it worked. Over here. Trouble with Mercury's and perihelion. When will that be? It happens twice every 3 months. The information is too vague to be of any use to us. And the Sun in con Polaris? That implies an orbital relation between the star Polaris and the Sun. We've never been able to figure it out. The blanks probably refer to their time computation. But these messages do involve the Sun.
Palomar and the other observatories are watching it around the clock.
In the meantime, we have a newer and stronger version of our interference machine on the drawing boards at Aberdeen. Has there been any determination of the weapon's useful range? There's a weakness. Our instruments indicate that the potential effect drops off sharply after 1,500 yards.
We'll have to hope that that's enough.
Well, maybe we'll be ready for them when they come. Has anyone tried that helmet on?
Yes, we have. I think you'd be interested.
Try it.
It weighs only a few grams.
What's it made of?
I don't know exactly. Solidified electricity is the fancy name given to it by the Bureau of Standards. It resists everything we used on it, including the most extreme temperatures.
It makes me Superman, for one thing.
Yes, we know.
I have a peculiar range of vision. I can also hear a young man just outside that window discussing a problem in advanced biology. Carol, would you see if I'm right?
So I took her home when I kissed her goodnight and slapped my face. So I said, what's the idea? I just slapped yours when you ordered a $4 steak for dinner.
You know, just as we need glasses and hearing aids, these people need electronic amplification of all their senses, especially sight and hearing. Does that suggest anything to you?
They have their weaknesses.
When will we be ready?
We'll need at least a couple of weeks.
People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. Look to your sun for a warning. Look to your sun for a warning. Following eruptions on your sun, there will be 8 days and nights of meteorological convulsion.
Turn it down.
Soon thereafter,
they're arrogant people by knowing their schedule in advance.
They're coming down to take over. They made that clear to us in the saucer.
They move so fast and strike so hard, the author will speak in flatness.
They expect to terrify us with a display of power. They're contemptuous of our defenses.
People of the earth, attention. This is the voice speaking to you from thousands of...
If I'm right, they'll sail into Washington in broad daylight.
This
expect us to capitulate when they land.
From thousands of miles beyond your planet. People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. Look to your sun for a warning. Look to your sun.
It's all over everywhere.
Following eruptions on your sun, there will be 8 days and nights of meteorological convulsion. Soon thereafter,
can you immobilize the whole populace
in the capital city of the United States?
The whole world.
Let all nations be represented in Washington to confer with us.
Do it, just for instance, and here's the round. And I'll come to the other room, and come to the measles. Well, what's all five, though, if you don't
Das griechische Militärfahrzeug, da la capitale des États-Unis d'Amérique, siamo rappresentati in Washington, per
conferire. Oh, no, the point, the mundo, the room in Washington.
People of Earth, attention.
In every country of the world, in every language, every means of electronic communication was jammed with the message. The warning was dimmed into the ears of the Earth's population unceasingly for 12 hours. And after the 12th hour, silence. Then, a tremendous explosion on the surface of the sun.
Nine days. That must be what the missing words meant. I get the picture, thanks. If I need any more information, I'll call you back. Goodbye.
That was the Bureau of Meteorology. As we know, sunspots have a direct effect upon our weather. We'd expect heavy storms, tidal waves, hurricanes.
When?
Beginning now and continuing for 8 days.
It's when we most need our communications and transport.
We'll have to work under the worst possible conditions to prepare for an attack.
What's the schedule, General?
You're working on the installation of the interference units. Our plans for evacuating the city are already underway.
Then it's been decided that we'll fight?
When an armed and threatening power lands uninvited in our capital, we don't meet him with tea and cookies.
There's a job of production expediting waiting for me. I don't believe further discussion will solve our problem.
Before we break up, I'll remind you that we have 9 days left. One of those days is already half gone.
You might call it that. My backpack.
Mm-hmm. Mine too. What time do we leave?
I have to leave right now. I'm going to Aberdeen to supervise the interference project.
So that wasn't a hello kiss at all. It's goodbye.
For a little while. You're going to have to leave town. We're evacuating Washington.
Where am I going?
Palm Street. Remember the place I told you about?
We were going there together.
I know. You're playing these tonight.
First, let me speak. Maybe I can help.
There's nothing more you can't do. Here's your ticket. You will arrive before the bad weather sets in. And I'll be there soon.
Mm-hmm.
First of man's vital communications to suffer was the shipping lane and airways. Then transport by rail and highway, ground to a halt. When the telephone and telegraph systems had failed and the radio networks were forced to bear the burden alone, they too succumbed to interference known to originate in an increasing disturbance of the sun. The world, crippled by these events, waited for the first sign of an invasion from outer space. Because of the atmospheric violence, it was not until the ninth day that an orderly evacuation of the city of Washington could be attempted. Although the authorities and the military worked miracles, when the tenth day dawned, more than 60% of the people of Washington were still in the metropolitan area.
Think he's at CIC?
Yes.
Mrs. Byron. Your husband told me you were in Palm Springs.
The plane schedules were canceled before I could get away. Have you heard from us?
There's been practically no communication with Aberdeen. Wires down, radio jammed. But I'm expecting a courier any minute. A red alert. Saucer heading in low over the Atlantic, coming in fast. Aberdeen are taking up positions in the city. Your husband's section is nearing the Pentagon.
Thanks.
Keep it in your field so it can't fire at us.
Thank you.
GHQ to Tony, are you in? Over. Hello? Yep. GHQ to Tony, are you in? Over. I'm here. I'm here, Captain. Well, you know, fighting aliens is rough. We do what we do. But then again, being black is rough, and we do what we do. We got Professor sitting in the lounge pondering the fate of the future of the universe. But bottom line, it's one thing to say that we solve the world's problems in less than an hour and a half. We should be so lucky. And we see there's a different kind of science fiction going on when it comes to black people and how they're treated in this country, and especially in certain segments of society.
Yeah, it never ends, man. Never ends.
Well,
can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Now, what I do want to find out, though, as waiting for the rest of the fellows to join in, is, you know, I saw that movie when I was like 8 years old, and I was good until the saucer hit the Capitol building. I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck? Was there ever a time that you got so caught up that you thought, this ain't shit, this is real? When you were little, what was a movie or something you saw that made you think like that?
Wow, I'd have to really sit down and think. Well, it's funny, you know, I never saw The Exorcist. I've heard a lot of people say that that's still one of the scariest things that they dealt with. And it's funny because I guess there's an updated version coming out. I guess either before the year's over or sometime next year. Maybe The Birds.
The Birds. Now, that's one thing. The Birds was funny, but it was scary on two parts. My father, like in the Flintstones, like Fred, he bought Wilma a dodo bird for anniversary. My father bought my mother a minor bird. He bought a minor bird for her 20th anniversary. We named it Handsome, and of course we taught it how to cuss. But one night the Birds was on TV, and it was one of those evenings where my mother was the type of person, like, she'd watch a movie, she'd watch it theater style, you know, lights out, everything's quiet and shit. So sure enough, she had not put the cage or cover over the cage when the Birds was on. And as the Birds started acting up, Hanson started acting up, rattling and shit in the cage and acting a fool. And then she said, cover that motherfucker up.
You know what's another, I don't know if you could consider this horror, but it was scary to me, was In Cold Blood.
Yes. That was hard to me. And you're right. Scary because it was real, that it was based on real shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you've ever seen, and I'm sure you have, if you've ever seen Philip Seymour Hoffman's depiction of Capote in the movie, he devotes a lot of that movie to, I think, either the writing or the screenplay or whatever. There's a lot of references to In Cold Blood. I think the whole movie, I think, is
the whole movie.
It's either related to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole movie is like that. The scariest stuff to me is the stuff that was based on shit that happened before. I think Professor Fred has finally checked in. Professor, are you there?
Yes, I are. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Good evening, Aunt Nadine. The world has been saved again. Just what Tony brought up. Was there a movie that ever threw you off guard or shocked you that you were surprised about?
There probably is. I don't pay that much attention to movies of that nature because anything that scares me when I'm, you know, in the movie. And see, the way I'm wired, some of that stuff that we see in the movies, I either think it's silly or stupid or just ain't funny. And then some of it I see is, you know, you know how you see certain things, you know, and I'm sitting there like, listen, you dumbass, don't open the door. Here come little JoJo and Mickey. You know, and,
there you go.
And see, some years ago I realized that so much of this of what we see is wired around white women with high-pitched voices.
Yeah.
And blonde, blue-eyed, and all that kind of crazy crap. I'm sitting there like, you dumbass. You should have known better. You know, I personally think that, you know, if you read the script, leave the door alone. You know there's something in there. And to me, that's irrational. And so I don't really watch a lot. I've never seen The Exorcist. And most of the movies like that everybody's really crazy about, I just don't watch them. You know, and one of my goddaughters, nobody wants to go to the movies with us. And if we do, we can't sit together because she's a dumbass, you know. And one of the few times she would use foul language around me is in the movies. Look at that jerk, you know. And, you know, make you almost want to get up and go just pimp slap Becky because, you know, Becky's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't, you know, that's the only way I can enjoy those kinds of movies. So basically, I just don't go.
I hear you. I'd rather do.
I will say this. There's a few movies like Blackula and a few of the other ones. I have seen them, but I treat them the same way. You too stupid to be black. You know, I'm glad this asshole ain't part of my family because he's, you know, and I've seen Blackula and several of the other blaxploitation movies, which I think are jewels. And, you know, to me, a lot of those movies like that are just as good as the one that, you know, if DiCaprio or whoever the director may be.
I hate the fact that they call them
black exploitation movies. The way I look at them is these are guys and ladies who got their first chance without the assistance of the quote unquote general public, and they you know, and to me they were out there making money. Ivan Dixon and a lot of the other guys that were directors and producers, they put together good work, whether they were, quote, critically acclaimed or not.
Yeah, Nothing But a Man was one of my favorite movies. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And see, I hate the fact that they, you know, I hate the fact that they call them, quote, unquote, blaxploitation because, you know, look. Think of all the folks. Well, see, here's the thing. Now, the movie you're just talking about, Nothing But a Man, I believe that was out in the early 60s.
It was.
If I remember correctly. This was long before, this was even long before he was on Hogan's Heroes and Car Wash of the other. Matter of fact, I think it was even on before he was on the Twilight Zone when he played the boxer, which is a great episode, by the way. But see, the thing is, you know, a few years ago, I bought a bunch of DVDs, and it was from the Blair, it's basically a bunch of the movies that BET used to run on a weekly basis back in the day when they were actually still BET. It was lots of some Oscar Micheaux stuff, some other there's other guys who I can't remember, but there's a guy I think you all might be familiar with. His name is Spencer Williams. Now,
yeah.
Spencer Williams was a great actor, director, what have you. But there's a generation of folks that know Spencer Williams as Andy Brown from the old Amos and Andy TV show. But he was so much more. Matter of fact, that cast, Tim Moore, I forget the lady who played
Sapphire,
thank you. They were all accomplished actors and actresses.
They were like what's the fat guy's name what is his name? But they were to me. They were on par with several of the black of the white institutional actors and actors. Jackie Gleason. Amos and Andy was on par with them. And you know, and if you know the facts about it, you know, Gleason rarely rehearsed anything. Everything, you know, he would read the script and go. And they just worked around him, and that's a lot. And I think Amos and Andy were on par with him.
Years ago, I went to a black memorabilia convention years back, and one of the things that they were selling was some of the old episodes of the old Amos and Andy TV show. And I had never seen it. I always heard of it. I always knew of the radio show, which was two white guys basically doing quote unquote black dialect, as they like to say.
Right.
But the show in and of itself, the thing that always struck me, and we saw all the stereotypical stuff and whatever. But see, the thing that always struck me was I've always been the person like, what do you see? Now, take Amos. Amos ran the Fresh Air taxi company.
He
ran a company. He was an entrepreneur. He ran his company. Calhoun, whether you liked him or not, he was a lawyer, a black lawyer, crooked lawyer, but who isn't a crooked lawyer nowadays? That's another 2-hour conversation in and of itself. But the thing I remember the most about watching that, and I think it gets lost in the sauce, that was basically, in a sense, Black Wall Street. Because where they were in Harlem, you had black-owned businesses, you had black-owned stores, and a lot of times, you know, we could be our own worst enemy in the sense.
No white folks showing up. Yep.
That's the thing. Well, see, you got to remember, Living Single began a whole year before Friends. So, if anything, Friends is a white version of Living Single, but that's another conversation. But the thing to get back to what we were saying, the thing about what struck me was that yes, as stereotypically bad as it was, if you looked at the whole picture, this was black entrepreneurship. The only thing that was missing was sort of the sports angle where you could have had the Negro Leagues or like the old Black Fives pre NBA. But
that's
somebody
true.
Had to, you know, someone had to be the first. And fortunately or unfortunately, because they weren't allowed to sort of, you know, run it themselves. They had to bear the brunt of it. Now, also the fact the show was hella funny. You know, if you're just looking at it just on a comedian, just on a comedic level, funny as hell. I mean, there's some shows on now that could take lessons from that show from back in the day. But
that's true.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you know the blaxploitation quote unquote movies get lumped into that whole era, because to me, like Fred said, and I don't think we're alone in saying this, a lot of those movies are classics. I mean, you know,
Three
the Hard Way. When you think of movies like Three the Hard Way, which was basically about the whole Flint scandal almost 30, 40 years before it actually happened. And then you see movies like Gordon's War, 5 on the Black Hand Side. There's a bunch of them that were way, way, way ahead of its time. And, you know, Nothing But a Man was a perfect example. There was another one that I enjoyed as well with Sammy Davis Jr.
You also had The Learning Tree, which was Gordon Parks'
coming-of-age
movie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you know, Sounder. The Sammy Davis Jr. movie that I was referring to was A Man Named Adam. You know, he played, I guess he played like a trumpet player. Matter of fact, hell, you could even go back to like the 30s and 40s, St. Louis Blues, which is basically the autobiography of W.C. Handy, the you know the great jazz player. But see,
that's right.
I you know we say all that, and forgive me for going into you know a little bit of a whatever, but
no, you're right.
It's all, anything you know stuff like that has that you know that has that black flavor to it. It's always looked upon as lesser than. And what have you. And
because that resentment is there.
Resentment
is there.
Absolutely.
They can't stand
gentlemen, you know, we overlook a lot of the fact that, you know, there were several movies. I know Sidney Poitier and Belafonte did a couple of them, and two other quote-unquote cowboy movies.
Yeah,
but then think about it. Who were the real original first cowboys? Brothers.
That's right. I got Reggie Patrick and Guy with me. Guys, can you hear me?
Live and living color, folks. How everybody doing?
Yep.
Over here.
Hey, who's pouring the beer? Somebody pouring the beer in the background. I hear some beer back there.
Sounds like it's Jerry Jones
after the ass whooping this week? I'm sorry. Hey, Patrick.
No, you're not.
a little Jack Daniels, or should we say Tennessee whiskey?
And it ain't rubbing alcohol either.
Now, but gentlemen, real quick, if you allow me to say a prayer for Coach Lou Anderson, formerly of Virginia State University, is in the process of going almost to his transition. His body's shutting down. And Patrick, you know, he's one of your Kappa brothers.
Oh, yeah, fine new to him, man.
Yeah,
Definitely. So
say a prayer for the family. It don't look
yes,
good.
Indeed.
So I'm not trying to put a damp on the show, but Witt has done an illustrious job of getting information together, and I got to get his books, and it's been crazy. So I'm probably saying, Professor, I'm getting your books. It's just a lot of things been going on, and it's pretty set my apologies. But just please send a prayer out to Coach Lou Anderson and the family, because if he makes it next week, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, he was a star.
Huh?
He was a star player at Claflin back in the real
Hall of Fame
old days. And then he later became a star coach at his school up in near, outside of Richmond.
Yes, sir.
He put them back on the map, as a matter of fact.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But if I can add one caveat, gentlemen, I have to say, in my humble opinion, that when all of a sudden here in Richmond, and Patrick and Professor always say, tell your own story. Don't allow nobody to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
Howard came inches away of kicking a certain big-time school
at
20 to 23.
I was saying, come on, boys, we can pull this shit off. And they almost pulled it home
with Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
How many flags were thrown?
Oh, my God. Home cooking. Oh, my
God. Yeah. It's not so much how many. It was the timing.
Absolutely.
Because when you can mess up somebody's momentum, that does just as much.
It sounds like it was 18 against 11, though, unfortunately.
Hey, Tony, you ready for this? When Hampton came up here and kicked Richmond's ass, the white folks didn't want to hear from me. I say, well, Richmond, you're 1-3 against HBCUs. Ha! Of course, some rednecks didn't want to hear that.
Yeah,
they said, I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm. I guess their spidey sense couldn't see that one coming, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to say the coach of Richmond has an issue with getting his ass beat by black coaches. I'm just saying it to this circle, and I tell you off the air. And I got this from other coaches personally about how he has the attitude of getting his ass beat, especially from HBCU coaches. And guess what, guys? The University of Richmond is going to play A&T, and it might be A&T homecoming. I said, y'all here for a treat.
Reggie, let me throw this in.
Yes, sir.
I saw Howard play. They came and played. They played. They came in, last year. Came up here and played Morehouse last year.
Morehouse.
And it's a nasty challenge. But one thing I saw about the Howard team, first of all, that they have decent size. That's what they're going to show. And I also like the way. I'm a big guy on, even though I'm filming or taking film, a big guy on watching drills and how teams affect drills and particularly when the coaches aren't there. And they ran their drills very well. I saw some stuff out there that with some more pieces, they could be a real good football team because they got some size. They got some good coaches.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good coaches, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can get the money, and Professor can back up on this. Where Howard, being one of those rich HBCUs, if they work it right and stop messing up on campus with their can't keep the heat going in the dorms or misappropriating administrative costs, misappropriating funds, they could do something. They could be like another Hampton, Dr. Harvey.
Speaking of money, that sound you just heard was everybody going to the pay window after Deion and Colorado defeated Arizona State 27-24. That's their fourth win. They're 4-2, and they beat the odds. Everybody cares out.
Hey, did you hear what Arizona Arizona State president said? Well, Deion, he's a little too green behind the ears. Well, damn, I had to eat my words because this is the first time we had a sellout crowd in about 10 years. They had 54,000 at the game, and normally 44,000 come.
They don't mind, us showing up when they're going to put some money in their pocket.
And when Primetime Junior shows his watch, and when Deion showed the sunglasses, another $1.2 million in the pocket. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Talk about marketing.
Yeah.
I love it.
They've got another interesting test this week because I guess they host Stanford. Stanford's a little down right now.
They're going to kill them. They're going to be 35 and nothing.
see, I'm not happy with the way the team is playing. They might have a banana peel. They ain't been playing that good.
Two more wins
away from a bowl game.
But Deion said he's not big on the bowl game. If he goes, good. If he don't go. Because I think
he done made the money. Hey, Patrick, he done made the $29 million that they offered him already. He done made his salary.
I think for Deion.
UCLA, Oregon State, Arizona, Washington State, Utah, they have to win the Stanford game.
Yeah, it's going to be up here.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble with Utah. Struggling. I'm gonna tell you that Utah number one.
They got grown ass men playing. I guess so.
grown ass men playing the pro team.
And
also them big Samoans they got there is as big as anybody I've seen. Lord Jesus,
that's a pro team they playing against Utah.
The white guys they got been on missions and stuff. So they got a lot of more kids. And after the freshman year,
they grown ass men playing against, right? Yeah, that's true.
You know what?
That's for my friends. Got families, man. They semi-pro. They got families.
While we got on the black hand side, we need to recognize young men who are setting things off in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest installment of the Field Journal.
Uh-oh, General Patton marching in. Red Ball Express coming through.
Tina? Members of the Joint Chiefs of Pass will come to order. National Football League is in week six. And as I've stated for years, by week six, everybody who's supposed to whip somebody's ass has whipped their ass. Everyone whose ass has been whipped has been whipped. Any game that is beyond that, you know, is supposed to register as an upset. And we know a lot of white owners are upset that these players came in here and played as well as they did. When they rate a white quarterback and a white quarterback plays well, they're like, well, we always knew what this was. This guy was going to be a star. But when it's a black quarterback, everybody loses their mind. I can't say for myself, I can only go by what my eyes tell me. And my eyes tell me that C.J. Stroud is going to be a star in this league for the next decade, no matter what happens to him.
Yeah, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers got something to say to Baltimore.
Gary, did you see
Lamar Jackson make a business decision when the ball came out the hand and he was trying to play patty cake? He just said, I ain't tackling nobody. Good job.
I don't blame him.
That man played patty cake with the ball. He ain't want no parts of that.
Can't say I blame him in that.
They got bad coach here, Baltimore. I'm sorry.
That ain't no joke.
What's going on with your quarterback in Cleveland, Patrick? What's up with your quarterback?
You know, he got hurt 2 games ago. And I saw the play where he got hurt, where he ran in the field, ran a touchdown, and he jumped in and hit his shoulder. And he shook it off.
What, in the sand? Jumped up in the stands, hurt his shoulder?
No. He didn't jump in the stands. You know how guys jump on and then they get in the end zone and hit, you know, jump down and whatnot. I shook it to the end zone. Yeah.
He knew he had to play the Steelers at some point. That sort of got him out.
Don't worry about that.
I was waiting on that.
Yeah. But he
Spoken like a true Ram.
As a matter of fact, I suggest you don't play Sunday because
which you want to play against that defense of San Fran? Oh my God!
It doesn't make a difference because I'd rather have him toward the end of the year than right now. Because right now, if he ain't matter of fact, he hasn't thrown all week long. Yeah, he hadn't thrown since last Wednesday. So it's best that that shoulder's bad. Sit down.
That game at Cleveland, ain't it?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland. And they got
the dog
the kid,
pound's gonna be rolling.
Yeah, they got the guy from played pretty well last year with Charlotte the Charlotte team, PJ Walker from Jersey. He's gonna play quarterback instead of the rookie right now because rookie got his butt slammed because you know he wasn't ready to go out there even though he's good. So you know PJ's around the league pretty well. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Barkley, what's his situation? His ankle? He should be out with his ankle for another 3 or 4 weeks. Saquon Barkley.
His ankle is bad.
That's why they didn't pay him the money. That's why they want to pay him the money.
Hey, man, it doesn't matter. The Giants are going to lose 7 games this year, 7 more.
And Jones, the quarterback, he's hurt too, isn't he?
Mentally and physically.
Boy, they're going to put the needle in the shoulder and tell him to get his ass out there and play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play, then we get Field General number 16 in Tyrod Taylor. So
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And he almost got hurt last week. He almost got hurt last week against Miami.
I got to go out in this mess. But don't show Tyrod a needle. You know what happened last time?
Gentlemen, since none of y'all brought this up, I'm going to bring it up myself so I can avoid cussing in public. So, during the San Francisco game on Sunday night, nobody seemed to notice this but me and a few other people I know. But there was a situation where they showed the boxes for both teams. And
yes.
Conspicuously present in the San Francisco defensive box was this guy named Wilkes, who was for a year the quote, interim head coach for the Carolina Panthers.
Who just happened to be
the only team in the NFL who ain't got no wins this year. Realistically, ain't even come close at all. And why don't they come close? They can't stop nobody. Forget the fact they can't win. They can't move the ball on nobody. But when it comes to stopping somebody, they're 0 for the year. And don't think it has gone unnoticed across the state of North Carolina because what we have done in North Carolina is say those are the South Carolina Panthers instead of the North Carolina Panthers.
We don't
tell nobody where the boundary is because, see, as you move back and forth across, quote, South Charlotte, or South Mecklenburg County, or South Union County, it's hard to tell whether or not you're in North or South Carolina. And if you miss the sign, you'll think you're still in North Carolina. But no, we tell you quick, you in South Carolina the Panthers play in a stadium that's almost in the center of Charlotte, right down the street from the team stadium where the team. That's from Charlotte, not North Carolina, the Hornets. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because just so y'all don't get confused, those are not the North Carolina Panthers. Those are the South Carolina Panthers who ain't won a game yet. not even preseason, and you know Maybe just they're just going through the intramural route. I don't know.
And Fred, you know something, Fred? Good for him. Quite quickly. Good for him.
Yeah. It was, you know, like I said, it was. I just got to have. Unfortunately, I had just awakened at the point in time where I think temptation just caught again.
What was that?
Can make you listen to your generals.
Is it General Patton coming back? The Red Ball Express.
Well, that ball is rolled. I'll tell you this much. Since we have briefly talked about the field generals, which of the young field generals has impressed you the most at this new crop so far?
Russell Wilson, because he ain't beat the shit out of his coach yet. For him to hold his patience.
Beat that out of him.
Russell telling Sean, kiss my black ass. I'm tired of your shit.
Right.
Get me out of here.
I know that's right.
I'm sorry.
His coaching days are over. I think this is the last hurrah for him in Denver.
You know
he's
what?
Sold money already.
Gary's right. Russell Wilson is having his career poisoned by having guys who don't believe in him and, frankly, can't fucking coach. He killed a
fat child's
ass and saved
his ass. Of his wife. That's what it is.
Decade.
He goes to go home for that.
He got lucky because he was in New Orleans, and New Orleans had a good team. Denver ain't got a team.
And
he should have went to New Orleans.
I tell you, and quite frankly, Russ has not played that bad. I've seen him play two games.
True.
No. He's not played that bad at all. I don't care what anybody
says.
That's true. But, you know.
Yeah.
The issue is when they're threatening to release all the players before the season ends, that ain't making you happy. Judy ain't done nothing yet.
Thank you.
Come on. He got to work with.
Trey Russell to the Jets. See what they do.
That ain't happening.
They
ain't have no black quarterback here, buddy. We ain't have nothing again.
I'm surprised the Giants got one.
I was going to say, what in the J.J. Jones do you think the Jets are going to do? They will never have a black quarterback again playing for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're locked in. Yeah, as long as they got them G executives there who are more interested in marketing and impressing Park Avenue, you can forget it. That's their problem.
Is it that bad, Patrick?
Oh, please. Man, please. All years I was around that team? Come on, man. You know, you got a lot. And particularly when Woody Johnson got the team, it all changed. Let's see how much money we can make. By the way, we got to play the games. Oh, okay. We'll do that too. Let's see how much money you can make. That's what it balls out.
Exactly.
As long as you look the part of Wall Street, everything's fine.
There you go.
Just look the part.
Oh, God, please. I could write a book.
Aaron Rodgers said, I'm going to get paid. I ain't got this shit. I'm going to get paid.
Well, it ain't Wall Street we're talking about with the Jets. It's Front Street. Because they put all out on Front Street, and they've been exposed big time.
Yes,
the season's
old
for them, and they didn't even got
started. Also, I mean, the Giants have been exposed. When you sit there and tell me that Danny Dimes is your best player, get out of here.
They paid them. They pay them.
Mm-hmm.
They suffering ever since. They got another ass whooping coming up soon. Don't they have San Fran? No, San Fran already beat them. Who they got coming up soon? They're going to put another ass whooping on them.
Oh, God. Who they playing this week? Matt, I didn't even look at it.
They got another ass whooping coming, I know.
they got a couple coming. You know, and the Giants too. So you know, and the Giants are worse off. The Giants are worse off than the Jets. You know, but I'm
hey,
not.
Hey, Patrick.
Heard
anything about my
Buffalo,
man down in Memphis?
Okay, here we go. The Eagles.
Buffalo. That's right.
New York against the Jets.
Two ass
weapons. In Buffalo. Yeah. Goodbye,
that's
New York.
Right there.
Goodbye.
Yep. Hey, Patrick, how much money they making in London with that London trip? How did NFL make out?
I know. I didn't see those numbers. I know the ratings weren't that bad. I do know this.
Okay.
They're going to play in Germany next year, along
yeah.
with playing.
I have one question. If you wear number 88, you can't wear that bitch in Germany. Am I right, Michael?
You know, Reggie, I really want to see if somebody's stupid enough to get away with that and maintain that.
If they come
on
that field wearing 88, oh, my God, they might get shot.
They know better. And Interpol knows. If somebody on either team or any team is wearing jersey number 88, they're going to make them take the jersey off as precautionary matter or just disqualify the guy because you're just asking for trouble, literally.
Yep.
I can see some fool try to come out with an 88 jersey. Yeah.
It's going to be Germany and expect another one in Mexico.
Yep.
That's a matter of fact. To my knowledge, I think they're going to play four next year in London. Four games next year in London.
Probably. There's going to eventually be a foreign league, a foreign division.
Yes,
a foreign team. Jacksonville.
Talk about a road trip. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, what they're going to do is they'll go over 2 weeks, play two games, have a bye week, and come back home.
That's right.
So you're going to fly from L.A. to London. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Hey.
I don't even want to think about that road trip.
NFL's thinking about
it's only 12 hours.
They can go from Germany.
Play in
Japan while you're at it. You got to play.
Don't be surprised.
Go play in Japan.
Don't be surprised.
Better fly military over there. That'd be military planes
that
fly.
Yeah, don't be surprised. That's right, because they can go from Germany to Mexico and put 100,000 asses in the seat.
Easy.
And not think twice about it.
And one thing you have to realize, guys, in terms of merchandising, foreigners love U.S. merchandising.
Yep.
NFL, they absolutely love it.
There's a lot of Buffalo Bills jerseys in London. I knew that.
I mean, a ton of Buffalo Bills jerseys. I produce a show when I was at WLIB out of the NBA store. Boy, it was like the foreigners going to the dollar store, them buying stuff at that place. They're coming in with suitcases buying stuff.
Yeah. You can make your quarter right in one day.
Oh, please,
you
man.
I
had never seen that. I mean, I said, you know, one person with suitcase, but I'm saying 10, 12 people buying stuff, you know, jerseys were, at that time were like $60, $70. They buying them like it was $5. They just buying them. So, and it's that way now. You know, and also indicative to why they go in these foreign countries, because the foreign countries buy the merchandise, which is reflective of how the league sells.
Yeah.
How they are interested in the league. That's all. It's a
nice
time.
In Mexico, the Dallas Cowboys at Yoga Ridge.
Yeah,
that
you're right.
100%.
You're right about 100%, Gary.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, Patrick, what about betting overseas? What's the market like betting overseas?
Huh?
What's the market like betting overseas?
Do you think they want Dallas to come down and play in Mexico after Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Free, and the sucker board every day.
Fred, they'll do that.
They'll
sell. Yeah, they'll sell that. That thing they got, they'll sell. Yeah. Yeah, they'll sell that one.
Shit.
Yeah,
they're going to play in L.A. They might as well be in Mexico. They're playing back in Los Angeles Monday night. hey, but Patrick, about betting, now how's the betting work overseas in London and all that?
Oh, man.
They got gambling over there.
Another situation, when I was LIB, I had met with, this is how I know betting, this is how I got the scope of how betting works at a different level. I did when I was LIB, I was the lead in meeting with some people from the islands, from the Caribbean islands, who were connected.
Jamaica.
They were white folks who were connected with William Hill over in London. And we worked out a deal with LIB. Unfortunately, LIB people weren't, they weren't thinking ahead. I'm not going into specifics, but I will say this. They wanted to do something with sports at that time. That's almost, that's over 20 years ago in terms of betting with the with LIB. And marketing on our show we call old school sports, that's my show. The Sports Box with Larry Hardesty.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Sutton's people, Sutton, Attorney Sutton, people said they want they didn't feel confident about him. Going okay, but you gotta meet him because they have that connection between the Caribbean Islands and the London betting house over in England. I mean, please, there was money to be made. I mean, we weren't going to bet because it was legal, but it was a matter of sponsoring some ideas to make some things happen sports wise on our show. So,
golden in their heels.
Yeah, they didn't do
a lot of money, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, before we go, we have to recognize that the hockey season is almost here. Basketball season is almost here.
Tomorrow,
they playing already.
Mike, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
In terms of hockey, how racist was Barry Melrose?
Most of these cats.
Maybe that's why I think the Alzheimer's.
This is what Gary and I had talked about for years. Hockey had always had problems because they understood that they had to change because their demographics were changing, and they refused to do that. You know,
they
still throws a bunch of stupid white guys with missing teeth, you know, knocking each other in the head and whatnot, scoring one more goal than the other, and then saying, hey, what the real deal was that there have always been brothers playing hockey. There have always been brothers who played hockey well and excelled at it. You know, the fact that the Hockey Hall of Fame corrected a big mistake and got Herb Carnegie to get in the Hall of Fame was a big plus.
Yep.
And as Joe Ward said, hockey's for everybody. You got about 33, 34 black players in the league now. Some were stars. Some were just rookies. Some who are role players. But the bottom line is, it ain't no thing. You're a black hockey player? Oh, okay. No problem. That's right. That's roll. But unfortunately, you got the times, you got the guys like Melrose, who's an asshole, and he would have been an asshole under any circumstance. It just turns out hockey brought out the asshole in. Mm-hmm.
Hey, he said Karma's a bitch, but it takes a while. But when she comes roaring. That's why he ain't no more with the Alzheimer's.
I always said something how he gave
his critique of players. I mean, the guy knew what he was talking about. I sense that he didn't want to. I just sense that the guy wasn't too keen on black players. That's all.
He wasn't. All of you know.
What's the brother that does the commentating? The black brother that does the commentating. What's his name?
Oh, you mean
that does the commentating during the main booth. That brother knows his hockey.
PK,
No, somebody else. Not PK, it's another guy.
Emery.
I mean, this brother takes over the show when he's on TV.
He
knows
Carter.
Hockey.
You got Mr. Steve
Carter.
Yeah,
I know PK is settled on when I see him.
He played in the state. He understands. He played in Michigan State. He understands hockey for ABC. And he runs it down. And the NHL is smart to use him in the way they're using him. Kevin Weeks is a national telecaster. They've flourished in the face of the racism that hockey has generated. So hockey made out.
Michael, I like the way they let BJ be who he is. I enjoy
yes.
that because now I can watch it after the game. And BJ will tell you who did what and where.
He knows his stuff. They can't take that from him. He knows his stuff. He's a student of the game. And even when he was playing, he was a student of the game. They didn't like that. They thought this black bastard is too smart for his own good. But now,
it's true. Hey, Michael, I got one question. When you said somebody know their stuff, why did the brother leave Memphis Grizzlies, go to Houston, and now popping people in the junk, man, preseason?
Oh, please.
What's his brother's problem?
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Does he have a fetish for nuts? These nuts?
Yes,
what's up with this guy, man? What's up with this guy, man?
$80 million.
He's crazy. He's crazy.
Somebody going to do something to him, man. That shit ain't cool.
$80 million. Yeah, with the
old family jewels.
Yeah, somebody.
Nah, they gonna wait for his ass after the game. He might get caught up outside the parking lot.
There's some guys. You know, the league ain't like it was. Well, not to the extent it was in years in past. Because somebody like my boy Rick Mahorn would have made sure he'd have solved that problem.
He'll throw an elbow to the fence and broke his nose. That's what Rick would have done.
You're right about that.
Oh, Rick Mahorn, Xavier McDaniels. I mean,
oh,
Charles
my
Oakley.
God. That,
please.
They
had to call the riot squad to get them off his ass.
Let alone Maurice Lucas. Please.
Oh, Lord. They called Dennis the worm for a reason. Dennis might have liked it. I'm sorry.
This beat the Mizzou Twins 3-2. Houston wins.
Yes, Dusty.
Houston
goes
to
the yeah.
Repeat, come on, Dusty.
8 years in a row.
Hey, can I say this to all the anti-Houston people? Kiss my black ass. Now tell me they cheated then. Had to bring a black man again. The professor talked about had to bring a black man in again to save the franchise from what the Europeans did and the cheating scam.
Reggie.
Just a bitch.
Reggie.
Come
well,
on, Dusty. Back to
you.
Well, unfortunately,
San Francisco Giants have both of these guys.
Well,
okay.
You know, San Fran didn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Too late now. It's going to be the Giants, me and my daughters watching it, that's for sure. Because we ain't going, we're going to get these.
Here you go.
Just go to show.
Well,
as long as
my Orioles had no front line pitching, the Orioles got blank. It was too bright of a light for the Orioles. They couldn't take the big light.
They finally got there a few years and a few $1 million late, but they got there finally. So,
hey, did Atlanta beat Philly? Did Philly beat Atlanta tonight? Hopper made up for that dumbass base runner. Mister, let me throw my hat off my head so my hair can fly. Can't stand this punk ass. I got to show my hair in the wind, bitch. I'm sorry.
Well, on that note, show your hair flying in the wind and set us off with final thoughts.
Well, I normally don't bring family matters in, but like I said, please send a prayer to the Godfather, Coach Lou Anderson. Like I said, Patrick, I'm leaning on the shield. When I say this, Patrick, you know what I'm talking about when I say chapter invisible.
Yes, indeed.
My late father, I knew things I shouldn't have known, but hey, when you around the old heads, they get to tell you things and they know.
Yes, indeed.
In honor of Cap Afrasai, I keep my mouth shut, but they're going to get another member. But real quick, my wife's company, there was a person up in Pennsylvania decided that they wanted to take a picture of a skeleton and the woman dressed up in blackface. And she said, get this now, gentlemen. The picture was not in blackface, but she was dressed up as a zombie. Bitch,
oh,
please. Oh, it gets better than that. The
Lord.
Wife sees it, and some women with attitude, sisters get together, and they emailed the corporate president in Texas, Dallas, Texas. He's so shook. He said, I know nothing about it. Now the chain of command is everybody trying to cover their ass. The bottom line, every time fucking Halloween comes out, these crackers think it's okay to bring in blackface. How about learning something about blackface and stop the bullshit because it was Heil Hitler or something to do with the Jews? You wouldn't dare to.
Hell
and
no.
We know they wouldn't. That's just
no.
My opinion.
No.
There you go.
No.
That's right. We see that on TV as we speak. You're right about that shit. Patrick, go ahead.
Real quickly, within what I do, I'm about, covering sports. I'm still covering Rutgers, and I'm about to break out basketball. Some great games coming here in New York, Kansas and Kentucky. Garden and the Big East is coming out in the Big Ten. I did the Big Ten last week, press conference. I didn't go to Chicago, but Rutgers seems like pretty good. Seton Hall seems pretty good.
What about Maryland? How Maryland look?
We don't know yet. Don't know yet. But within that, the various things that I do, one of the things that I have a problem with is the preponderance of oversaturation in sports on particular topics. And I'll say this, and I'll end on this. I'm tired of people talking about Dak Prescott. Whenever they talk about him, I turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking about he can't do this, he's going to do that. Wait a minute. Is he playing defense too? He can't make him play. Come on.
Is he calling the plays? No.
And people are scoring him because of where they lost to Frisco. They beat the cheerleaders. They beat Jerry Jones' family. They beat everybody I mentioned. But they're going to look at
they took Jerry Jones.
What
they came
on,
and took Jerry Jones. Tell that bitch back to Cleveland.
Man, please. I'm going.
They jacked Jerry's yacht.
Can't y'all talk about something else. That's all. That's all I got to say. As soon as they talk about the quarterback, I turn it off. Do something else.
The Negro got too much money, Patrick. How dare the Negro get that money? And Jackson is next on the hit list.
You ain't wrong.
Jackson from Baltimore next on the list.
Yes, please. And, by the way, one quick thing. They gave Jenny Jones $40 million.
Thank
next
you.
Question.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
They gave who?
Daniel Jones $40 million.
God bless
America. Daniel Jones make in 1 year he'll make more than Saquon makes.
It's nice to be white.
In 1 year. In 1 year he makes more than Saquon Barkley. Anyway, let me shut up. Move right along.
White privilege, and don't you forget it, buddy. White privilege.
No. You see white privilege. Don't touch that. See white preference.
Hey, I got to write that down. White preference.
That's not white cracker. That's saltine action right there.
saltine, buddy. Snap, crackle, pop.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm sorry. It's been a rough week with the wife, man. You're going to have to forgive me. Mike, you know about that, don't you, being married?
don't do it.
I tell you don't do it. I tell you don't do it, Mike. I told you. He jumped the broom and joined the group.
My wife standing over me with a cleaver in her hand. Be careful what you say.
Oh, shit. Hello, Mrs. Ingram. This kid. Oh. Well, when we come visit you, no time soon, Mike.
Thank you, not, brother.
God, I'm so jealous of y'all guys. I'm so jealous. I had too much fun.
First, I'm going to thank the boss for keeping Mike in check. I don't remember in the last few weeks. I don't remember too many of those, shall we say, profane outbursts. But, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Something we did not discuss at length here was our little darling. And the other day I saw Mary Lou Retton on doing a commercial for old people.
Whoa.
If you have seen her lately, she looks real old.
She's in the hospital.
Come to find out in the last few days, she's having a medical setback. So, we hope the best for her. But, what I want to talk about was the fact that in the last, 24 months, we have seen Fisk University start a gymnastics program for their women, and several other HBCUs are starting them now. And, going all the way back, for those who don't know, you would never have heard of, Mary Lou Retton had the young lady, there was a young black lady on the team who, I think she turned an ankle or something. Anyway, there was not time for her to recover, so they replaced her with Mary Lou Retton, and the rest is history. So it took a little longer for the number of blacks involved in gymnastics to rise, but over the last, three, four Olympics, they have not only arrived, they've dominated. And even when Simone Biles backed out, guess what? Another sister stepped up and took her place.
And Simone Biles is world champion twice this week.
And now she went from being maligned over her decision to protect her physical and mental health. Because if you know anything about tumbling at all, what we used to call it, gymnastics, you know, it's you got less than a split second to recognize where you are.
Very true. Very true.
What you're supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. And
yep.
I honestly believe they would have been rather have seen her get herself hurt or hurt herself out there on the, you know, my feet
yeah,
are wide, as wide as the beam. And
did you right?
You know, it's crazy. And you know, personally, my stepdaughter did a little bit in tumbling and all that stuff for cheerleading, but this young lady not only went through all that stuff, plus the molestation and other foul things that happened to her. And guess what? She has come back. She's number one again.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that, and being that I do a lot of work with HBCUs, one of the things I want to say about that is in all likelihood, we're not only going to see what we've seen with Fisk, but a lot more, because it's time consuming, but it does once you get the apparatus and the padding and all that stuff, you don't buy that but one time. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully more and more HBCUs will catch on. Matter of fact, maybe I'll talk to Winston-Salem and say maybe we need to go ahead and take over that.
Doesn't Tennessee State have a women's hockey team?
Who?
Tennessee State. I think
I have no clue who they're gonna play, but it's gonna be good because see, you got brothers out there swinging sticks.
And most
of the guys on the other teams are non-brothers, and you know I joke with my nephew who's a Duke commit in lacrosse. I said, what is
oh,
it
yeah.
like to just go up there and just high stick a white guy? he looked around to see if his dad was there. He said, it's cool.
There you go. Talking
about days of Towson State and Morgan, the blood on the blood on the grass.
Hey Reggie, it was much more than blood on the grass. It was a bunch of ashes on the grass.
Yes, sir. They got the scrapping up there.
And Mike, every time I think about hockey, I'm thinking about the routine that Subject Entertainer did with the Kings of Comedy about you can't have brothers on skating and hockey with sticks, ready to fight somebody.
Help! Get him off me! Help! be like my boy in Alabama, throw the hat up the back, send them. Everybody come here to put some ass. I'm having one, fellas. I'm sorry. I'm having one.
There you go, Big G. Come on.
Save me, Gary. Save me.
Come on, G.
Okay.
Mess Gary up.
Hello. Oh, boy, too. They had three home games left. Stanford, Arizona, and Oregon State. You need 6 wins to become bowl eligible. Deion's going to do this. He's going to beat Stanford easily on Friday night.
Oh.
The game that worried me more in Arizona. That's the one that could be more eligible or not.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Deion well, but he's not going to be here today. I'm going to be Oregon State. He's not going to be Washington State or Utah. I'm sorry. So he has to win 2 out of 3 home games. I think you can do it.
can do that. As the brother said, hit my theme music, and he's going to hit it because everybody got paid, Gene.
Yep. Congratulations to the Houston Astros. And you sorry, San Francisco Giant fans, let two good managers go. Now, I want you to watch this weekend what they can do.
Don't forget the Washington Nationals got rid of them, too. Washington could have kept them.
Yep.
How about that? You know, we started off evening with some sci-fi. And all that shit is entertainment. But the movie that scared the shit out of me to this day was the Ten Commandments. Why? My mother took me to that snake when I was 5 years old. I saw the stick turn into a snake, and I saw the water turn to blood, and I was no more good. I mean, what does it make the Pungo kid do all that and then say you better be good? I was good all right. I didn't know what the hell to do. But the bottom line is all
now we know. Now we know what happened to you now.
Man, Gary gets a shot in. Damn.
Yeah, I know. Give him room. But it's all good. This is just reflective of what we do, our experience, our life. We love it. They love it. Even though they don't want to admit it, but they emulate it. They emulate it so badly, they can't stand for anybody else to enjoy it. And they can't stand anywhere else other than to profit from it, which is why I tell them, I don't have to say anything. You say it for me, brother. Somewhere like your baby.
Vera, you know we tally up at 4 o'clock. What is your problem?
Kiss my ass, sugar. I've got to watch my girl until the last trick is gone, and I'm not about to ask no customer to roll over so I can punch some goddamn clock. Now, this is your place, but I am in charge of the girls. And you just kiss my ass.
Oh, baby.
Don't do that.
So, baby, how are we doing?
We made about 200.
200?
200.
Your girl's been back there all night.
200.
How they only make $200?
You kiss my ass quick. I don't never say nothing to you when the crap table and the bar come up short.
Because the bar and the crap table never come up short, just the girls.
Uh-oh.
Now, calm down, Vera.
Uh-oh.
Kiss my ass, sugar. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.
I ain't trying to say shit. You in charge of the girls, right?
I am in charge of the girls.
Are you in charge of the girls?
I am in charge of the girls.
Okay, the girls are always coming up short, all right? Let's get the shit out in the open. The girls are always coming up short. Even when the place is packed, the girls come up short. Now, either you or them got a problem with their arithmetic.
Uh-oh.
Are you saying I'm stealing?
The man didn't say you were stealing, girl. Now, come on over here and sit down and shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up, Benny. I would tell you to kiss my ass, too, but you probably can't find it, you blind motherfucker.
Fuck you.
Me and you got to step out back.
Oh, hey, God, it was just a misunderstanding.
Uh-uh. No, it ain't. It ain't no misunderstanding. Quick just accused me of stealing. And if you're going to take up for Quick in here, we can all be some fighting motherfuckers in here this evening. Bring your ass, nigga. Bring it on. Come on. Bring your ass! Come on, get up and come on, motherfucker!
All right, bitch, you want to fight? We can fight then! You fat motherfucker, I'm tired of your shit!
Just bring your
ass! I'm going to beat the shit out of your ass! And you, oh, Jesus! Don't hold me, Tigger! No! Let me go, Tigger! Let me go!
Watch your ass.
No, Tigger, don't hold me! Don't hold me!
You better watch it quick, you fucking with a heavyweight!
Come on.
Oh, come on, Vera. Don't you want to talk about that?
I ain't got nothing to say. You done insulted me, and I got to kick your ass right now. And afterwards, I don't want no hard feelings either. What the fuck is wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face. You out of your fucking mind?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? Well, then, come on, goddammit. You've been fucking me since. I'm going to beat the shit out of your old ass in this motherfucker, too. Yeah. You want to punch people in their eyes, right? Right? Bitch,
that all you got?
Yeah, you didn't think it was going to be like that, right? And now I'm going to blast your motherfucking teeth out.
Nigga, you hit like a bitch.
Oh, you're a little slow than you thought, ain't you, huh? Yeah. I punch like a bitch, huh? Okay. I punch like a bitch? You'll say goodnight to this bitch right now.
You're gonna have to learn to respect me. And the next time you accuse me of stealing, I'm gonna kick your ass again.
I think you crazy bitch.
Oh, you wanna hit people with garbage cans? Now I got to cut you.
Here, put that razor away. I ain't playing no more. You put that fucking razor away, I'm gonna blow your goddamn pinky toe off.
Oh, now you're gonna shoot me in my pinky toe.
I'm not playing with you. I will blow that little black, gnarled, crusty, dead motherfucker the fuck off your foot. Now put the razor away.
You must be crazy to pull your gun on me.
You're gonna be the nine-toe having this limping this bitch in Harlem. You don't stop fucking with me. Now put the razor away.
Well, go ahead. Shoot, here it is. There it is. Shoot, quick, go ahead. Take your best shot.
Okay. Ow.
Oh.
You didn't have to shoot that old lady in the foot, man.
Sugar, she was trying to kill me.
She wasn't trying to kill you. She was just trying to scare you.
That's bullshit. The bitch pulled a razor out and was going to cut me with it. I usually kill somebody over some shit like that. I don't even want to talk about it no more.
You whipped your ass.
Fuck you, man.
If you hadn't had that gun, she'd still be whipping your ass.
You know, y'all laughed at the wrong shit.
He shot me in my pinky toe.
I know, man.
I'm going to put what's left of my foot in your ass. I'm going to kill him, sugar.
Please, be careful.
I'm
going to
kill him out.
Don't kill him.
Just relax. Oh, if I could get up from here.
Vera, we're going to find your toe. You got to stop overreacting.
Overreacting?
Oh, yes.
Get your old ass in the car.
Oh, man, fuck you.
Next time you fight somebody, pick on somebody your own size. Get in.
We're going to find your toe. Guys, you can't. I grew up in Harlem. Women were like that. Tough as nails. Don't take no shit. Don't want to be fucked with. Very real. And blessings on Della for personifying that aspect of it. Y'all have a good night.